T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Oh, yeah, it's Friday, and that means it is time for Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. Mike, good morning, man. How you doing?
What's going on, Joe? How are you, buddy?
I'm doing good. I was at the ACC meetings in Charlotte, and so we get there and spend a little time with the commissioner, and the commissioner says, hey, number one thing is we got to continue to get these players and coaches vaccinated. So we can get this season in. And then the big bombshell came where the NFL said, nope, we're going to take it to the next level. What were your thoughts on what the NFL came out with, including a lot of players not real happy about it? Well, a handful for sure.
Well, Joe, look, the big takeaway from yesterday's memo is the idea that forfeitures are in play for teams who can't play because of outbreaks of COVID among unvaccinated players or staff. So if there's an outbreak among vaccinated but not unvaccinated, you're not going to have a forfeiture. Now, good luck figuring out which is which if you've got an outbreak that affects both, which is, I think, how it will go if it happens. But this, to me, isn't about threatening teams with forfeitures. This is about making as crystal clear as possible the competitive advantage and disadvantage of being vaccinated and not vaccinated. And this is, I think, the final push by the league, as tacitly endorsed by the union, to get the players who haven't been vaccinated to realize, if I don't get vaccinated, I'm going to hurt my team. There's been resistance to that idea. Cole Beasley pushed back against Michael Irvin's suggestion from the other day that if you don't get vaccinated, you don't care about winning. Now it's as clear as it can be, because the only way you're going to forfeit a game is if you've got unvaccinated players that cause the game to be forfeited. If you don't have any unvaccinated players, you're not going to be forfeiting a game.
Mike, so you know, we talked about vaccination because it's all over college football. The commissioners, the SEC, ACC commissioners, now the NFL's coming out where to play this team sport. Takes a lot of bodies to do it, a lot of coaches to do it. And you know what? Our reaction has been here. You could probably guess down here in beautiful South Florida, is stick to sports, man. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. That's been the reaction about it. You guys don't have any idea what you're talking about. You can still get it. You can still get it even if you've been vaccinated. So there's a lot of information out there. And Mike, I don't know. Are the teams all going to come out and say what the numbers are? Are they going to keep that in-house for each team?
Well, and Joe, first of all, about the reality that you can still get it even if you're vaccinated, yes, you can, but it's less likely to put you in a hospital on a ventilator.
Correct.
And kill you if you've been vaccinated. And that's the one thing that people refuse to understand. You can still get it, but you're not going to be 6 feet under when it's all said and done. Now, the league has required that within each facility, the players who are vaccinated must be readily identifiable visually. And I was told last week that the league and the union were coming up with a plan so that at practice and during games, you also will be able to know right away how it breaks down, who's vaccinated and who's not. The players who are vaccinated are supposed to have like a wristband or something. But I was looking at pictures of the Cowboys' first practice. I've seen nothing that differentiates players between vaccinated and unvaccinated. But if that goes through, and we see that at games. I mean, you know, this idea that and you've had certain players who have said, well, it's a personal medical decision. It's not going to be a personal medical decision when you're not wearing the wristband that the vaccinated players are wearing, because at that point, everyone's going to know. And I think the players who are kind of on the fence need to factor that in as well. And I think that's what they're really trying to get to. The guys who are in what they're calling in the political circles the movable middle, whoever's left who hasn't gotten it, that they can push toward getting it, that's what these measures are aimed at doing.
Yeah. Mike, how do you feel it's going to be with fans this year as far as this thing gets worse? Are we looking at potentially losing fans going to games?
Joe, look, I have been monitoring for much of the week the increases in the infection rates, the sense that this Delta variant is spreading like wildfire. You know, the problem is once we collectively concluded the pandemic is over, I don't think you can collectively turn back around. I don't think that is going to happen. So I think that the stadiums are going to be full. Anybody who wants to go is going to be allowed to go. This is kind of what the league was toying with last year. The idea that, hey, if you want to go to games, you know the risks. You're allowed to go to the games, and you accept the risk that you may catch COVID at one of these games. And the league quickly realized that the governmental agencies weren't going to allow it. I don't know that there's going to be the will politically to go back to no fans and telling teams you can't have fans there. I think now with the availability of the vaccines, the push is more along the lines of getting the unvaccinated people vaccinated. And you know, Joe, one thing I've noticed this week, and I hope the people who are staunchly opposed to vaccines for political reasons are paying attention, more and more Republican politicians are coming out and saying, get the damn vaccine. So if you did fall on the side of not getting vaccinated because you view it as just another red state, blue state issue, well, the red and the blue are going away. And the red politicians are saying, get vaccinated. And I hope people are paying attention to that.
All right, let's move on to the other one. Jerry Jones, I saw a lot of people, he got a little emotional there, so people are making fun of him, going, he's always about marketing, and here he goes for Hard Knocks. What was your take specifically on his comments about Jimmy Johnson?
Well, I think that as time passes, he's realizing how special those few years were. You know, you think about it, you buy the team in 1989, you bring in Jimmy Johnson, you suffer through a crap season, and then immediately everything starts going your way, and before too long, you've got one of the best teams the NFL's ever seen, and you win 3 Super Bowls in 4 years. And now here we are, 26 years later, and they haven't even been back to the NFC Championship since the team that Jimmy Johnson built fell apart. And the thinking had been for years now that Jerry Jones would much rather be the captain of a ship that never quite makes it to the Super Bowl versus the guy who's riding sidecar to a coach who calls the shots and decides who to draft and who to sign. And, you know, it could be he's starting to realize, you know what, I've only got a few more spins left at this chance to try to get another Super Bowl. Maybe he's starting to warm to the idea of getting a coach who, number one, will be better than what they've had for the past 15 years, frankly, and number two, may be able to help from a personnel standpoint to really put together the kind of team that they need. What's weird, though, is in recent years, the Jones family's done a great job of putting together a talented team. It's just the coaching has not allowed that talent to live up to its expectations.
Hey, Mike, one more thing about vaccinated and unvaccinated here that's going on. How ugly do you think it's going to get on these football teams as this thing goes on this year?
Oh, hey, Joe, that's one of the big takeaways I had from yesterday's memo, because it sets the stage for strife in the locker room. And we've seen the Bills players on social media who are on both sides of this thing. You've got Cole Beasley, and he's the guy who's been ranting. And then he said, well, I'm not going to say anymore. I don't want to be a distraction. And then he was back at it earlier this week. John Feliciano, one of the offensive linemen for the Bills, anti-vaccine sentiment yesterday. Jerry Hughes, one of the defensive leaders, coming out saying, get the damn vaccine. Stephon Diggs tweeting that availability equals accountability. So it look, the fact that, and Michael Irvin's comments were spot on. There are boxes you check on the path to a championship. And this is a simple box. You get vaccinated, you're more likely to be available to play. You're less likely to ever have to consider forfeiting a game. It helps you get to where you want to be. It's like everything else you do, studying film, doing your cardio, eating right. It's a box you check if you want to win. The fact that there's resistance, so much resistance to check that box, tells you how strong the feelings are. And we know how strong the feelings are from the people that we all deal with individually who are on the other side of the issue. And whatever side of the issue you're on, you know that the people on the other side feel strongly about it. And that's going to infiltrate locker rooms this year. And the best coaches are going to find a way to keep that from happening. And I think the one guy to look at is Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. They've been among the highest vaccination rate all along. And I think he was able to go to each of his guys one at a time and make sure they understand this is what you need to do. We've done the research. You're going to be fine. And I'm amazed that more coaches haven't been able to pull it off. And one of the reasons may be, Joe, that some of these coaches quietly, discreetly are on the other side of the should we be vaccinated question.
Yeah, no question about that. I agree. Xavien Howard, how the Miami Dolphins, how's this end up? Do you believe he'll be with the Miami Dolphins when this is said and done, or you think they trade him?
Well, you know, there's a couple of different ways it can go if he doesn't show up next week. And if it does get ugly, if they refuse to do some sort of an adjustment to his contract, if they keep saying, hey, you signed a contract, you signed a contract, you signed a contract, and you've got 5 years left on it, then what do you do? How does the impasse get broken? And look, what the Dolphins have to realize is they swooped in and signed this guy at a time when he had yet to receive significant NFL money. They dangled an ultra long-term extension. They shouldn't have tied him up for as many years as that extension applied. And now a couple of years in, he's realizing he's outperformed the contract. And he has. He has. And, you know, this reminds me of what the Eagles used to do years ago. They would identify their best young players after two seasons. Back in those days, you could sign a guy to a new contract after 2 years in the NFL, even if he was drafted in round one. And they would sign them to these ridiculous long-term deals that filled their pockets in the short term. But eventually, they looked at their contracts, they looked at the market, they looked at the salary cap, and they realized they were getting screwed. And I think if you decide you're going to try to do a quote-unquote good deal with an ascending player, if that player does ascend, you got to be ready to take care of him. Whatever precedent you're setting, you've got to be ready to take care of him, because these teams need to resist the temptation to do that deal like the Dolphins did a couple of years ago, knowing that if Howard continues to play the way he is, they're gonna get a great bargain. The problem is they got too good of a bargain.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's where they are right now. Hey, real quickly, Aaron Rodgers still going to be a Green Bay Packer? Is he still thinking this thing over? How's this going to end up now?
Joe, I think the main reason we haven't heard anything definitive from Rodgers is because Mark Murphy, the CEO of the team, faces shareholders next week at Lambeau Field, and they get a chance to voice their displeasure with everything that's gone on the last 4 months. I think that's why he's not going to say anything. I think he's showing up, and I think his best path to get a trade is to show up. I think if he shows up and the Packers realize, man, this is going to be awkward this year. I mean, this is just going to be ugly, and he's going to be making these passive-aggressive comments, and you know, maybe we should just take what we can get from the Denver Broncos and move on from this guy. I really do think that staying away is far less likely to get him traded than showing up and basically saying, hey, you got to deal with me now.
All right, and the other quarterback, of course, that a lot of people here in South Florida care about is Deshaun Watson. What happens? I know this legal thing's still going on. Nothing's been settled there. What does the team do with Deshaun Watson here?
Well, the first question is, what's the league going to do? Are they going to put him on paid leave when he hasn't been charged with a crime? He's got 22 pending lawsuits. There's enough flexibility under the personal conduct policy to put him on paid leave. What I think the league needs to do, and I think this applies to any player that's facing the possibility of paid leave, it should not be a guessing game. And I know that when I say that, people are like, oh, Deshaun Watson doesn't deserve any fairness or consideration. Everybody has rights. Whatever allegations you're facing, you should have basic fundamental fairness. And I think as a matter of fundamental fairness, the league needs to tell Deshaun Watson whether or not he's going to be put on paid leave. They need to tell the Texans. The other teams need to know. Because if the league is not going to put him on paid leave, I think the Texans could trade him. Now, you have to be willing to take Deshaun Watson knowing that he's facing these 22 lawsuits that haven't been resolved. But at least you know he's going to be allowed to play while those lawsuits are pending. So that's the threshold thing for me, assuming that there isn't a settlement. And a settlement could come at any time in theory. But assuming that doesn't happen, the league needs to let player, team, and Dolphins, Broncos, Eagles, whoever would be interested, know whether or not he's going to be put on paid leave this year.
And he still has final say, correct, on which team? He's got to sign off on the team with the way the contract.
Yeah, and, and Joe, I'm glad you raised that because we hear about that all the time. Hey, a quarterback has a no-trade clause. Every starting quarterback has a de facto no-trade clause. You're not trading for a guy who doesn't want to come to you. Not the guy who is, you know, it's different if it's a running back or a corner or a safety or whoever. It's the quarterback, the guy that you're going to count on to show up early, stay late, set the tone, keep teammates accountable. If he don't want to come play for you, you don't want him. But yes, he still has the no trade clause. But I think at this point, he'd be so happy to get out of Houston and be able to play this year.
Right.
He'd accept the trade anywhere.
Yeah, I'm with you. Hey, Mike, thank you so much, buddy. Really appreciate it.
All right, Joe, have a great weekend, pal.
Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk. We'll take a quick break, get back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.